Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Great to have you with us today. Janie and I are talking through Psalm 23 and looking at some practical ways of making those verses real to us personally.
He restores my soul by the still waters and by the green fields, the will, the mind, and the emotions. And if that is restored by the God of creation, by the Good Shepherd, how healthy we are going to be. And that 3 John verses 1 through 3 says, I want you to prosper in all things and in health as your soul prospers. Psalms 23 is almost like having a how-to course in 6 verses. I don't know that I've ever, when I've really gotten in and studied it, to see how so much can be compiled in 6 short verses on how to live according to how God has asked us to. If I had to tear out a sheet of my Bible and run with it because I was having to flee, even though I know Psalms 23 by memory, I would have a tendency to pull that one out to keep my heart aware of how sufficient the Great Shepherd is to his sheep.
Amen. I agree wholeheartedly.
And he, by the way, he did call us sheep. He didn't call us dogs, which return to their own vomit that he speaks of other places in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And he didn't call us pigs that wallow in their mire. Mm-hmm. And the prodigal had to get a taste of that to want to return to his father. So sometimes we do act out of character. We are sheep, helpless, weak, and hopeless apart from the Great Shepherd and his care. And so the Lord is our shepherd. He is sufficient. And that needs to be personalized. It just doesn't need to be in our head without it being in our heart, does it?
And we want to stress the importance of finding that place alone in the shepherd's field with the shepherd, with the Good Shepherd, because that's where we find the fulfillment to be able to not only encourage others, but to be encouraged ourselves to live in this Christian walk that is sometimes difficult. We find ourselves acting like pigs sometimes when we're not spending that time alone in the shepherd's field. So I know that American culture anyway has been really pushed upon us to be busy. You know, if you're not busy, you're lazy. And if you're not doing, then you're left behind. And so being alone in the shepherd's field, sometimes you feel like that, oh, well, that's just time wasted. And so we should multitask that with other things. And I just want to stress how important just getting still and being alone with the Lord is. And that being alone in that shepherd's field, we can become more like David, who was a man after God's own heart.
Well, and he was a teenager. I don't know whether he was early teens or late teens when he was basically told by his family to get out and take care of the flock. Sharon, some of the most painful, lonely times where loneliness is the chief feeling and thought are when you are a teenager. And many times we are so busy getting them to their games and their tournaments and their curricular activities that we don't recognize how they are in fear, panic because of their loneliness, because of not being accepted by their peers, and they have thoughts of rejection that we know can sometimes lead, obviously, to the drug use, immorality, and even suicide. So as encouragers, we need to realize that God saw that it was sufficient to put a teen out there to learn from him and to shepherd the sheep. So I guess we've given enough introduction now to say that the first thing that David said is, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, for David to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, he had to have learned from the Great Shepherd. And I do want to bring out here that David was obedient to learning in isolation David didn't get to have his weekend seminar. Mm-hmm. He didn't get to go to a spirit-filled church where the truth was being taught. No, he went into a place in the field that was aloneness. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that he was lonely, but it was a place of isolation where his best friends that he talked to were the sheep. And they did talk back to him, but not a way that probably encouraged him.
You're right.
He might have been encouraged when he heard one that was in distress and he was able to get it out, but not that he actually was able to be built up by the sheep. And that is one of our jobs, to build one another up. Mm-hmm. So I'm encouraging people today to say that if you have been set aside, cast aside, rejected by family, friends, church relationships, business mm-hmm. relationships, and you believe you are in a place of aloneness, that can be a great, great yes. thing, because it starts to remove the very distractions that you started talking about that keep us on a superficial level.
Right.
So he says, the Lord is my shepherd. In other words, he is my all in all in all things. And then the statement that is a factual declaration, I shall not want. Now, the sheep probably didn't teach him that. But the great shepherd taught him not to want in any situation. I think if I was out in the sheep field, even in Levi's and Nike's, and a rattlesnake came, I would probably feel a real need and a real want right there. But the Lord had prepared him with the rod and the staff and knowing how to take care of those predators.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a cast sheep who was laying in a green field, I would probably maybe want to panic a little, because I could know they could be within hours of death. And yet the great shepherd had taught David how to shepherd the flock.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are to go forth and be able, in a capacity of an encourager, to be able to shepherd the sheep around us. And I think we look to maybe just the pastors or the teachers mm-hmm. to do all of that.
Yes.
But we are called to have that privilege. I've had the privilege of working with some youth in the last month, and I realize the vulnerability of little bitty lambs. Little bitty lambs who may not even have a Bible, may have just had a heart conviction, and now are thrust back into a flock that has great contention, that has great agitation and harassment.
And they can't tell the lambs from the wolves.
No. And they really don't have a 24/7 access to go to and say, I'm scared,
mm-hmm.
I'm fearful. And there, Sharon, is where we need to be praying for the little lambs, even if we can't always call them by name.
Right.
One of the things that comforts me, I shouldn't say one of the things, but one of the verses that comforts me when we find this situation is in John 10. And by the way, John 10 mm-hmm. is the chapter about the Good Shepherd. And in 27 and 28, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and we may be that voice to some of the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
We had the privilege of giving out Bibles to a lot of youth this last week. Sometimes the first time they're going to be able to actually read and hear what the shepherd is saying to them. But in 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And here is probably the best assurance verse in the Bible. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Excuse me if I'm overemphasizing, if my voice goes up in emphaticness. Neither shall they never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And for the little ones that have doubts about, I'm a baby Christian and I don't know what to do next, but I know I keep on sinning, they cannot snatch themselves out of the Father's hands, much less the predators.
Right.
There is safety. And he says, and all that my Father has given to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand, because my Father and I are one. So for anyone listening today that is saying, I'm trying to grasp just exactly where you girls are going, we are going to with the fact that the shepherd can take care of all needs. He works in His timing, and we don't always see the effects of how He is working. That's why we need to go through the rest of this psalm and see how He works. He's the great shepherd. He is my shepherd, and I do not need to have any wants. But He still then will take us into green pastures. And a word there that has been kind of debated as to how He does that is, He maketh me lie down in green pastures. You know, He always provides the green pastures, which is a place where we feed. And after we have fed ourselves, we lie down in contentment for the food to digest. And so we need a quiet place.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, even after we're given the green pastures, we don't lie down. We eat, and then we want to run,
and
play.
We run, yeah.
Right. And so there comes that word, He maketh. Mm-hmm. Now, what all do you think encompasses His making us lie down? Does He sometimes have to shut us up? Sometimes He has to take us in a way that is...
puts us in lonely situations where we're alone and in isolation.
Yes.
And that may be His plan for us.
And you're not going to have a green pasture, even though He's provided it, if you're going to do a 15-minute devotional while your mind is already figuring out if you've got to stop and get gas to the car, in the car, and you've got to get to the job or you're going to be late, or what's going to happen once you get to work.
Mm-hmm.
The mind has to be still.
Yeah, and that's probably the most difficult thing is... to practice.
But does that not show a heart dedication to the shepherd, that you are willing to purposely deny yourself or change your schedule or whatever is necessary to give Him preeminence?
And you know, one of the things, if you are struggling with that, one of the things that I know has helped me is speaking out loud. And and writing in a journal, those two things really help me stay focused on the task at hand rather than other things.
As much as I enjoy going to sleep at night listening to the scriptures, and it is comforting and it is relaxing, there is a unique, I don't know if the word I want to use is power, but there is a unique depth to the eye contact of reading the scriptures and then writing them down. There's something about writing them down that causes you to retain, to remember. And so I agree with you on that. Once He does get us to lie down in the green pastures, then we have been fed, then He takes us by still waters. And we know that the Holy Spirit is living water to us that we now are able to use at this particular time in our life to have that instantaneous, and I wouldn't want to use that word in the right context, awareness that He is there to be sufficient for us for whatever we face. We don't have to go make an appointment with the Great Shepherd. The Holy Spirit has been sent while the Great Shepherd is back preparing a place for us, that He said He will come and receive us unto Him and take us home to heaven in the interim time, so we are not left comfortless. We have been given the Holy Spirit. And to learn to talk to Him spirit to spirit, because right now in the studio, I'm looking at you and I'm seeing the real Sharon. No, I'm seeing the house that Sharon lives in. But how do I know the real Sharon? Because her spirit comes across through this house that she lives in. I always said Jesus is God with skin on. And He knew that we would need to see the likeness that He had created in us. And so He was willing to set aside staying in heaven and come to earth and take on the form of flesh so that we could know Him and that He would give us an example of how we could live in all different situations. And yet, what we can learn is what we learn in that shepherd's field, that we then go out into the world and then we have to live out. So after He leads us by the still waters, and you know, sheep won't drink from real fast running water. They have to have the tranquility of the still waters.
I did not know that.
But here's where we mess up with the water thing. We are so anxious for water after we have been fed that we'll stop at any water that we see. And so if there is a pool of polluted water that another flock has already polluted, but it's water, we'll stop there. And the shepherd has to get that rod out and prod us to move on down to the pure, still water that he has already found and prepared for us. And part of us as an encourager is to keep people from drinking from the polluted water.
Oh, that is so good, Janie. I didn't know that.
Yes. Well, just stop and think. If you're thirsty, I've lived overseas, and I know it took me a few trying to drink the local water to find out, no, I'm not going to drink the local water. And that included not putting ice in my pop.
Uh-huh.
Because you wouldn't think you were getting the local water, but you'd use cold ice, and that was made from the polluted water. So isn't he faithful in the small things? And in the drought, it takes the shepherd extra time to go find that water. And he may have to build a trough from one place where the water is to have that trough run down to where it runs into a nice, quiet pool for the sheep to drink from.
Wow.
And then once they have been in the still waters, once they have fed, here to me is one of the most joyous things that the scripture says. He restores my soul by the still waters and by the green fields. My soul, your soul, the will, the mind, and the emotions. And if that is restored by the God of creation, yes, by the good shepherd, how healthy we are going to be. And then immediately, every time I see he restores my soul, I have to go over to 3 John verses 1 through 3, where he says, I want you to prosper in all things and in health, as your soul prospers. And so now I've got the solution for working on the health, because he's told me it takes the green pastures and the still waters so that we can know the health, the physical health, the mental, the emotional, spiritual health that he has desired for us. Isn't it neat how the scriptures fit together?
Yes.
Oh, so anyway, I guess I need to slow down a little, don't I?
Oh, no, it's very good. I love it.
So then he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, we think, the Lord's lost control. He doesn't understand. Doesn't he know how helpless I am? Doesn't he understand how much pain there is? Doesn't he understand I'm panicked? And then it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. So, would he lead me in a path, Sharon, of destruction?
No.
No, that wouldn't be his path, would it?
No.
Would he send me back to some of those overgrazed paths or polluted waters?
No.
Would he lead me into sin?
No.
The high price he paid to invest in us was his life. And that demands the absolute security of the flock. So if we are on a path of destruction, we are turning our backs to his leading. And even if we turn our backs to his leading, he does not grab us by the arm and force us into the paths of righteousness, because it's for his name's sake. Now, praise God, he can allow by our own foolishness and our own ways to get ourselves into circumstances that we see ourselves wanting to change our course. He doesn't override our free will. So we need to recognize that even though man has free will and sometimes chooses to go into destruction, God has made paths of righteousness for his sheep.
And you know, you said something that the Lord really spoke to me this morning about, and that is that things may not be perfect in our life. He never promised us perfection around us. But in the things that are chaotic, that we will have peace.
Yes.
That we will find that place of inner peace, that of inner protection from the destruction.
And I have a little saying that I have used almost daily.
Is it another one-liner?
It's a two-liner, yeah.
Okay.
I think.
I'm just kidding.
That in my trial, that his tranquility will be dominant. In my chaos and confusion, I will know the utter calm that he knew when he slept in the bottom of the boat and the storm came up and the disciples said, don't you care? We're going to perish. Yeah. But he had utter calm, and then he said, peace, be still. and all the turmoil and everything instantly quieted. And we have that available to us. It takes us discipline to choose to think in that path.
A lot of times we get caught up in the chaos. We get caught up in the imperfections and caught up in the drama of life around us.
And if we're a type A solution solver, then if we can't solve it, then we go into the fear factor and we refuse to walk by faith. And you have to be walking in one or the other. You can't have a compromise. If you're walking by faith, the fear of the Lord is the only fear that you want.
Yes.
If you're walking in fear, then you've compromised your life of faith. And apart from faith, we are in serious trouble.
Yeah.
Even though we have the shepherd who has provided all for us. Then there's change. I just want to bring this out. In verses 1, 2, 3, it says, He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads. It's all he.
Okay.
And then in 4, verse 4, it changes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. And then he goes on, you prepare the table. You have the rod and staff that comfort me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. There's a change in the thought process. It's like he's established himself and what he has seen the Lord, the great shepherd, do. And now he gets on a more intimate basis. And the more intimate basis comes when he's got to face these extremities of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil.
Right.
And I love the word, it's through. It is light at the end of the tunnel. It's something we pass through.
And sometimes we stop when we shouldn't and camp out.
Yes. Yes.
When we should be just continuing to walk.
Well, let me give you some absolutes on going through the valley of the shadow of death. These are quick one-liners. The shepherd planned the trip. He designed it to be temporary. The fear of the trip is greater than the reality. The shepherd is always present in the valley and in the trip. He's called you to walk. He's equipped to bringing you through the valley in safety. And the trip through the valley is always by pre-arrangement, never an accident or a coincidence. So I'm not going to get real personal today, but I will just say I've had a valley for the last 3 years in a health crisis. And I have learned these things to be true that I questioned when the crisis hit 3 years ago. And now I know why I've had to stay in that valley. It's absolutely necessary to know that He is with you. And for the Christians that think, I want to give up, no, He's holding you up. He's carrying you when you don't recognize it. And then as you start to see the light get brighter and brighter at the end of the tunnel, you think, why did I sweat it so? He was with me all the time. But you see, we have to make the scriptures personalized. So if we take what we know in our head by taking in the Word of God, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter where our trial is, it goes into our head, but then it's got to get to the heart. It's got to get 18 inches down, and we've got to apply it. So you are anointed with oil so that you can go back to grazing in the sheep field, that you can wind up laying in the green grass in the pastures that He prepares for us. So that is for us to take in and be blessed and be trained and be overcomers,
right?
Because the oil is for us. Then my cup runneth over. And so when I'm full, we can't contain it. So that is for me to take out of that excess and take it on to you and give it to others. And then the consequence and the blessing is, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness is for the good times. Mercy is for the hard times. And that means Christ comes to you, the good shepherd, in an intervention. And He comes to you personally in a special need that you may not see in the good times. And then we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I'll give it back to you now, Sharon.
That is so good, Janie. I love the way you broke down Psalm 23 today.
This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.